Chapter 15, Style of Business Letters. Modern business language is simple, easy to understand, friendly and courteous. When I say simple and easy to understand, that means the way it is conveyed through the words, where conciseness, of course, makes a big difference. To the point. Another very important aspect when we say friendly and courteous, a letter or an email written in an authoritative manner will be conveyed through the words, whereas a letter or an email conveyed in a friendly manner will again be conveyed through the choice of words. Letters convey messages and must also build goodwill and create positive and pleasant feelings in the reader. Pleasant feelings in the reader will only take place if you have chosen your words carefully. In fact, even a letter of complaint can ideally be put forward in a manner whereby you're not offending the person. So, careful selection or choice of words. The brief contact with the reader that a letter makes must be pleasant and memorable. Avoiding business jargons. What are jargons? It means the vocabulary and phrases peculiar to a particular trade or profession. The term business jargon refers to the words and phrases which businessmen used in the 19th century for writing letters. Ideally, when we talk of business jargons, say as far as email is concerned, words like TTUL, what does it mean? Talk to you later. Words like LOL, which means laugh out loud or lots of love. Ideally, when you talk of jargons, it is more to do with a particular trade or profession. But there are times when, for example, five of you all are working in a group for a project. You all are used to using jargons while talking, such as TTUL, talk to you later. The new person or the new entrant in your group is not aware of this jargon. And in the bargain, he or she can feel excluded because these kind of terms, if not known to one, can ideally make a person feel distanced. When we talk of jargons, as we said, it was used in the 19th century for writing letters. It is also called commercialese, a word which shows contempt for the style. For example, the closing paragraph, a sentence or a phrase thanking you in anticipation. This kind of a phrase is outdated. So, it is written in poor style. It's outdated. Ugly, outdated words and phrases in letters fail to make personal contact with the customer or the reader. Dealing with technical terms. When you talk of technical terms, for example, an engineer would be more familiar with words like megabytes. So, if a person who is not aware of that kind of a term or a word, the person would find it difficult to understand the entire sentence. Whenever technical terms are used, it is better to explain the term in a simple manner. When writing to people who do not know the technical terms, the terms must be avoided. If the technical terms are absolutely unavoidable, in describing a product, the meaning should be given in plain terms. Then we agree that we've got to explain the meaning. Ideally, we have to see the comfort level of the reader. If a term or a phrase is used whereby the reader finds it difficult to perceive or interpret. Then there is scope for, sorry, then there can be confusion. And the response or the answer by the receiver may not ideally be in a manner which you expect, because the message has not been received appropriately. The language should be easy to understand, and technical words should not be used just because they sound impressive. Technical terms are ideally used only if unavoidable. Technical terms, yes, if they're used, they should be explained in brief. Asking for action. Choose a suitable style according to the need of each occasion for asking action. They may be routine, polite requests for actions, direct commands, formal or informal polite requests, and requests for permission. For example, you have ideally purchased a product from one of the shops. It's an electronic gadget. Ideally, when you've purchased it, in the next 1 month, you realize it's not functioning appropriately. So what do? You request if the piece can be replaced. You request whereby you ask the salesperson as to what action can be taken. Can they send it to the technical team who will look into what is the fault with the machine? So, when we say asking for action, it can be a request, it can be polite, it can be formal, informal, depending on the person concerned, depending on the situation. So, ideally, when we ask for any of these, it is more to do with the situation and the concerned person. Who is the concerned person and what is the situation about? Handling negatives. When you need to present negative information, emphasize what is something, sorry, when you need to present negative information, emphasize what something is rather than what it is not. Stress what you can do rather than what you cannot. What does this mean? That even a negative sentence can be framed or written in a manner without using negations. That means words like cannot, will not, can't, shall not, may be avoided or can be avoided. For example, you want to deliver the goods in my organization at 5 o'clock. So, if we close at 4, I request and tell you, no, we close at 4. So, no is a negation. But if I tell you the timings are from 9 to 3, it means that if you come after 3, there is no scope of the goods getting delivered. So, framing or structuring of the sentence, very important, without negations. Start with positive action rather than explanation or apology. Yes, you can apologize. It does set a positive tone if you apologize, but start with positive action. So you need to understand that when I'm framing a sentence or writing, what is the next step of action, which is of course beneficial, so a positive action rather than an explanation or apology. Avoid words that convey unpleasant idea. For example, you've written an email, made a lot of grammatical errors, and you ideally get a response from your colleague whereby he or she mentions your email is in bad taste. What does it mean? It means that ideally you could have made a lot of grammatical errors. It means you've not conveyed the message as per the words or sentences. It means that the opposite person is very disappointed with the way you structured the entire email. Sorry, it means that the opposite person may be very disappointed with the way you've conveyed the message, since the message may have not gone across. So, various aspects to it. Handling negatives. Genuine inability to agree or to grant a request is more acceptable to the reader and easier for you to communicate if a request is granted. And ideally, the opposite person cannot live up to the expectation. It is better to be direct. Support a refusal with an acceptable and well-explained reason. The reason has to be well-defined. The reason should not sound complex. The reason should be worded in a manner whereby the opposite person feels convinced. An apology. If required, yes, an apology must be put forward. An alternate offer or a suggestion. If you cannot or it is not possible for you to ideally to agree to something, very important that you put forward an alternate offer or a suggestion. Sorry, it is extremely important that you put an alternate offer or a suggestion, because somewhere you're living up to the expectations of the concerned person or the reader in this case. Your skill in the art of saying no without giving offense depends on your ability to use words well. Now, in this case, as we said, genuine inability to agree or to grant a request is more acceptable. When we say genuine inability to agree or grant a request is more acceptable to the reader, that means we need to understand, if you explain in a manner whereby the reader can understand your intentions with the style of writing, then your work is done. That means what you're wanting to convey will be easily understood. Techniques of emphasis. You can emphasize an idea or a point by employing the various methods like placing. An idea placed at the beginning of a composition or a paragraph or a sentence gets more attention than one which is placed later. Yes, when we put forward an idea, if it is placed in the beginning and if ideally it is placed in a manner whereby we explain in few sentences, then that idea will be probably perceived by the receiver and the receiver will interpret and then evaluate. Number of sentences given to discussing the idea. If you spend 3 or 4 sentences on the idea, the reader dwells on it longer, because the moment we put forward 3 or 4 sentences, the reader will definitely put an effort to understand it thoroughly. And if you give it only 1 sentence, it gets less attention. If an idea or a point is to be de-emphasized or reduced in importance, then you can give it in a phrase. Why will we give it in a phrase? Because we are aware that the focus does not have to ideally be on this one phrase. Mechanical devices. An important idea may be underlined or typed in capital or italicized for emphasis. Varieties such as color, different font type, etc. are useful for sales letters. Sometimes in organizations, for internal communication, it is mentioned to all the employees that whenever an email is sent, the most important sentence can be highlighted. Now, this, of course, is for people within the organization, because for them to communicate with each other, especially when a sentence is highlighted, it means that the most important aspect of that email will be highlighted. So it becomes easier for the person to understand the concept as to what exactly is the sender trying to convey or wanting to convey. We have wound up with chapter 15. Thank you very much.